Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
So, hello, K-Squid listeners. It's every other Sunday again, and you're listening to Sustainability Now, a bi-weekly K-Squid radio show focused on environment, sustainability, and social justice in the Monterey Bay region, California, and the world. And we're your hosts, Brooke Wright and Ronnie Lipschitz. At 6 o'clock in the morning, when I like to go driving around, Santa Cruz streets are quiet and mostly empty. This is a city that sleeps in. By 10:30 or 11, however, the backups on Mission have begun, and after 2 p.m., Highway 1 South comes to a grinding halt. Transportation in Santa Cruz is a perennial hot topic, as you probably know from the current debate over Greenway. Electric vehicles are not going to make traffic move any faster, so are there other easier ways to get around? Well, today our guest on Sustainability Now is Matt Miller, a senior program specialist at Ecology Action in Santa Cruz, where he focuses on urban transportation, working collaboratively with local government, business, and NGOs to help build physical and social infrastructure to move away from car-centric planning and behavior and onto bicycles. Matt, welcome to Sustainability Now.
Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks, Brooke. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for being with us, Matt. And I'm so sorry I couldn't meet you in the studio today following the nice protocols of if you haven't been feeling well, you can't go share air with people. So
fair enough.
Sorry appreciate not to that, be bro. There.
Next time.
Next time. So Matt, why don't you, welcome to the show, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm a senior program specialist over at Ecology Action, where my work specifically is around bike education, encouragement, and bicycle benefit programs, which combined help reduce people's barriers to using bikes for everyday transportation. And I've been with Ecology Action for coming up on 5 years.
And you specifically focus on adult programs, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's an important qualifier. When I first started at Ecology Action, I was helping manage bike to work day as well as bike and walk to school. And over the last few years, our community programs team has expanded and grown considerably, almost threefold. And so now myself and two members on my team are focused on adult programs, so college age and up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how you just talked about some of the events, the bike to work and things like that. How did your role and how did these programs change through COVID, and what are some of those lasting changes?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, like so many people, it was just an immediate shutter and grind to a halt. None of us really knew what was going on. But almost immediately, what we saw was there was a biking boom, with everybody pretty much forced to be at home and options for going outside, getting fresh air, exercise, you know, going to and from places that we typically go. There were few activities left, and let alone activities that were socially distant and compliant with local health, public health measures. So almost overnight, we saw an explosion of bicycle riding. People who were dusting off bikes after 20 years, some people who were finding biking for the first time. And so, you know, all of that combined with what we were trying to do over at Ecology Action, we pretty much went all virtual. So we created a suite of virtual workshops on a range of bike topics, intro to e-bikes, bike commuting, urban cycling, and bike safety, family biking. And then we really got to see how well the bike challenge that we had been experimenting with for a couple of years could actually fare in a pandemic, which is everybody's home and remote. We're not doing anything in person. And that provided a digital infrastructure for us to help provide resources for people, provide activity, and still, you know, engage people in biking. So
why don't you tell us a little bit about what that means, that challenge?
Yeah. So in 2018, we started experimenting with a pilot, the Santa Cruz County Bike Challenge. We had been running bike to work day, bike and walk to school for 3 decades. And we were, you know, continually looking for ways to innovate and grow engagement at the workplace and just employ other strategies for getting people to engage with biking. And so in 2018, we started with 5 local employers and maybe 150 people with a new online platform. It's called Love to Ride, and started a month-long bike challenge. And that platform, Love to Ride, and the challenge has in it a lot of different features. There's targeted messaging depending on the type of rider level you are, whether you're beginning or advanced, whether you participate in a workplace. It has lots of resources that help people, you know, from wayfinding to bike maintenance to rules of the road. But then also there's a lot of components to it, like gamification and incentives and goal setting that help people build habits around biking and help with the social norming, help with the rewards. And after a month, we got a lot of really positive results. So then we kept it going. And now we're in year 5 of doing the bike challenge. We've done 9 total month-long bike challenges. And we went from that initial 150 people and 5 businesses. Now we're up to 225 workplaces and almost 3,900 people who've come onto the platform and logged rides. So it's been growing steadily over the last 5 years.
Very cool. And do you have to be part of a workplace, like a participating workplace, or is it anybody in the county?
Anybody in the county can participate as an individual. However, if you do work locally, you can sign up your workplace for additional incentives and rewards. For example, for this coming bike month, which starts today, by the way, happy bike month, everybody. There is a workplace-based prize of $2,000. So you can participate as an individual, and you can participate as part of a workplace.
Ooh, wait, tell us about that. $2,000 goes to what, the workplace where more people biked more miles, or?
Nope. So okay. we didn't want to just reward prolific riding. That's not really what we're about. We're trying to support people getting out and riding a mile down to the grocery store, going to work, kind of the ordinary everyday trips that we're all trying to make. And so we have a variety of incentives that are designed to get people to try riding, ride often, encourage their coworkers, families, colleagues. And so for a workplace prize, there are 7 workplace size categories that are on Love to Ride for the Bike Month Challenge. So in order to win, you first have to win your company size category, and there will be 7 of those. And then 1 of the 7 will be randomly drawn, and they will win the $2,000 workplace grand prize.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Our most recent winner was Cabrillo College.
Nice. And that's, you said 7 different categories. That's new too, right? Didn't it used to be a little bit less, or has it always been that?
It's always been 7 company size categories. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Could you tell us, just because some of our listeners might not know, could you tell us a little bit about Ecology Action, what it does, and also why it cares about this kind of program?
Yeah. So Ecology Action is a 52-year-old nonprofit. Headquartered here in Santa Cruz. Our office is in downtown, and we are working to reduce carbon emissions at scale. So we manage dozens of programs across the state that focus on emission reductions in high impact areas of transportation, water, and energy efficiency. And in addition to continuing our core programs, we're also working on always launching new and innovative programs to reduce emissions. For example, recently, we helped launch one of the first in the region e-bike rebate programs with the city of Santa Cruz.
Health awareness.
That's a project that I help oversee. And then we have an electric vehicle team that launched the EVs Para Todos program, which helps with one-on-one purchase guidance for low-income individuals to get into electric vehicles.
Maybe I can ask some.
Very cool. Is Ronnie on the air asking a question?
Yeah, maybe I can.
Yeah.
Having trouble with buttons. Yeah, I wanted to ask some I think more, I don't know, a few harder questions, right?
Go for it.
And that, of course, is the issue of how much, you know, how many bicycle riders can you imagine there could be? I mean, right? This is the issue. Is this a bicycle safe area? I think that's really important. I know there are a lot of bicycles. I lived in Copenhagen for 3 months, and you took your life into your hands when you crossed the street because there were so many bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, is that something we could imagine here?
I imagine it every day.
Well, I understand that, right? You have to have aspirations,
but
realistically speaking, right? Given that we are not set up for, non-car transportation.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine if we were to just walk out in our street and imagine a totally different world. That said, all of the solutions are described and documented and ultimately importable, I think. And part of it is physical infrastructure changes, making safe areas for people to leave wherever they live on a bicycle and safely get from point A to point B. Part of it's social infrastructure. You know, we don't go through formal training on how to bike, where to be, what happens if you get a flat, you know, are helmets worth something? And so I think that if we were all collectively, you know, local government, local business, individual citizens, if we were all to wake up tomorrow and say, we want to do this, we could make some serious, serious changes happen almost overnight. I think it's a matter of will more than anything else.
Well, it may also be a matter of other kinds of incentives, right? I mean, electric bikes, we'll talk about that in a few minutes,
yeah.
Right, which
yeah.
make things, at least the hills, much easier,
mm-hmm.
are still fairly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've been looking into one, and I don't qualify for any of the rebates so far as I know. But that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this whole question of the social costs of climate change and congestion,
right.
things that are never monetized.
Right.
And it would be really a great type of program to figure out how to take, you know, funds from the future to pay for bikes now. I mean, this is sort of what, you know, this is what mortgages do.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just, you know, right. I mean, that's one thing. And, of course, the other thing is shutting down streets. I mean, Berkeley does a really, you know, annoying job, right, making slow streets.
Sure.
It just seems to me, right, incentives and disincentives are sort of a combination.
Yeah, there's a whole host of things that would need to happen in order to really align all of ourselves and make it easy. It's not going to be easy, and not for the next little while. But I will say that on the question of is it safe to bike in Santa Cruz County today, you know, that's not really a straightforward yes or no answer. And the reality is that I take myself, for example, I've been biking 320 to 340 days a year on my bike for the last 10 years. And I do that all the time. And there are lots of other people who do that also. We still make up a relative minority of the population. But all that to say, there are less visible, low stress and safe ways to get across this town that mm-hmm. You just have to go find and experiment mm-hmm. with. And they're low traffic, they're low stress, they're a little more circuitous, but they're also more scenic. So there are lots of ways to get from point A to point B across the county.
Are there any maps? Are there any maps that show those, you know,
low-stress routes?
Low-stress routes? I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, there's kind of some in the works.
Good.
Last year, in response to survey feedback that we got from Bike Month participants, one of the highest barriers for people in Santa Cruz County was safe routes. That was listed at the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in response to that and to kind of continue to innovate and experiment, last year during Bike Month and Biketober, we put together these safe route community bike rides. We did eight mm-hmm. in May. Mm-hmm. We did eight in October.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether, we had about 400 people participate. And what those were low stress routes that we designated from West Side to Midtown, Midtown to Soquel, Soquel to Aptos, and then in Watsonville. And it combined, you know, like the West Side Rail Trail that was recently built, combined streets with bike lanes, protected bike lanes, multi-use paths like Arana Gulch, that kind of stuff, and strung that all together to make a cohesive route for people that they could get to work, get to school, wherever they might need to go. So we have those published. There's four routes that we put together last year that we took hundreds of people on. But there isn't a large-scale countywide adopted low-stress bike route. You can see infrastructure.
Sounds like a good idea to.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, you're listening to Sustainability Now. I'm Ronnie Lipschitz on the air with Brooke Wright, and our guest today is Matt Miller of Ecology Action, and we are talking about bicycles. So, Brooke, go for it.
Yes. All right. I think we should get into e-bikes a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Matt? Are they, we're just talking about, you know, the adoption rate of how many people realistically will get out of their cars and onto bikes. Does the, how much does having e-bikes as an option move that needle?
Well, the short answer is e-bikes are absolutely a game changer. And are they getting people out of their cars? Yes. Are they getting people off human-powered bikes? Also, yes. But I think the more important one to focus in on is they are getting people out of their cars. So when we look at any of the programs that Ecology Action runs, or anybody who works in bicycle programs or advocacy planning, you know, we look at what are people's barriers to using bikes for everyday transportation? And the I mentioned one already, which is, you know, knowing safe routes or having safe routes. But then some of the really common ones, you know, across the population and certainly reinforced here in Santa Cruz County, are things like distance, hills, time, and effort. E-bikes address handedly every single one. If you need to go further, you can go further with an e-bike. If you have hills, you can ride up them as if they're not there. In terms of time, you're on average traveling faster, and so you can save time. And then effort, a lot of people are like, well, I would bike to work, but I can't show up sweaty, which is reasonable. Well, an e-bike can help you ride, you know, 10 miles across town with relatively little effort.
Well, you should just get a job that's downhill all the way, right?
Yeah.
So then you'll sweat on your way home.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah. but yeah, in short, you know, e-bikes are, they have had an absolute proliferation in the last few years. And, you know, it's still a relatively new arena. So there isn't tons of literature out there to point to, but there are a few studies that show that the implications for e-bikes replacing vehicle trips are really compelling. And I would encourage you, Ronnie and Brooke, next person you see on an e-bike, just ask them if they replace any of their trips that they might do in a car with their e-bike and see what they say. Yeah. My own direct observation is it's 100% of people I run into.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about the affordability of them. Are they getting more affordable? And I know that they can be really expensive, but as I've also seen ones that are not so expensive. Where are they at for to really replace your car for, like you just described, a 10-mile route that day?
Yeah, so it's going to depend a ton on an individual's, you know, circumstances and sensibilities. But yeah, e-bikes in the last few years have gone from maybe a few companies making them to hundreds of companies. And you have everything from $350 Jetsons that are sold at Costco up to $12,000 Reese and Mullers that are, you know, essentially a BMW. Of e-bikes that are really well made, incredibly well thought through, and then hundreds of options in between that. So it really depends on the individual, but you know, if we look at the local context here in Santa Cruz County, you can walk into a shop like the Bicycle Trip over on SoCal or in Capitola, and they carry a brand called Aventon with bikes that start at around $1,100 for a decent bike that would be able to tackle a, you know, 5 or 10 mile commute. And we know.
Sorry, I want to definitely get to the $350 Costco one and talk about why we shouldn't buy that one or why one might not want to.
Yeah. You want to talk about that right now?
I kind of do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we look at consumer electronics, right, there's a wide range of quality and production. And when we think about sustainability of and the life cycle of products, especially with the proliferation of lithium-ion batteries in every conceivable, you know, consumer good, including e-bikes, things like Jetsons appear to work well for a little while, but they're pretty underpowered. They have small batteries. They're not really that comfortable or practical to ride for long distances. Hills, you can't do much on. And I think for a lot of people who are going into Costco to buy a $350 e-bike, it might not be the thing that replaces the vehicle. You know, just like anybody tries to get, if they own a vehicle, they want to get in and have reliable transportation.
I'm sorry, I have to intervene here. I never saw a bicycle on the Jetsons, and I watched it religiously in the 60s, you know? I don't know why you would name a bike for the Jetsons, but sorry, go on, Brooke.
You must have missed that episode, Ronnie.
Right, no, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Yeah, so that's we're talking in general terms here, but, you know, the cheaper direct-to-consumer type e-bikes in general have lower quality manufacturing, lower quality components, and shorter lifespans. And so for thinking long term and really replacing people's car trips, not over the 6-month horizon, but maybe the 6-year and beyond horizon, then we need to be looking at higher quality baseline, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, so coming back to, you mentioned sort of 1100 as a potential baseline then that we could get from a local bike shop.
Yeah.
And let's use that as our use case and figure out, okay, what are the rebates available locally, and where would that 1100 be able to get dropped down to?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so it's been a pretty exciting time for e-bike incentives. In the last 6 months, 3 have launched in our region. We helped launch one with the city of Santa Cruz. That's the Go Santa Cruz Downtown e-bike rebate pilot program. That one is for people who work in the downtown parking district or who are employed by the city of Santa Cruz. It's a point of purchase rebate, which means that you go into a shop and you realize the discount immediately. So it's not a reimbursement rebate model. The individual amounts are a $200 base rebate and a $400 income qualified rebate for a pool of about 5,000 eligible individuals. So that's one.
There's 5,000 eligible individuals. So there's that many people that work downtown or for the city?
Yeah, I mean, right before COVID, that was kind of our last benchmark. There were about 4,000 people working in the downtown parking district.
Oh, okay.
There are several hundred businesses and organizations packed into the downtown parking district. And then the city
Is the boardwalk part of that too?
No.
Okay.
No, the downtown parking district is highly localized to it's basically Front Street over to Cedar Street and then up to Mission and over to Laurel. So it's pretty concentrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then plus City of Santa Cruz employees, which are a little bit more dispersed, but they employ, I think, between 12 and 1500 people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's one. The next one, which I think Ronnie, you're eligible for, comes from Central Coast Community Energy. So there are a local community choice utility, and they have a tiered rebate system as well. So $500 base rebate for anybody who pays an electricity bill in the 5-county service area, including Santa Cruz County. Plus $100 bonus if you shop locally. 3CE is the only one of the 3 that allows you to purchase bikes online or direct to consumer. And then they have income qualified rebates that go up to $1,000 with that additional $100 bonus for shopping locally. So that's probably the one that's most applicable to most people. And then the third one is from the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, otherwise known as MBARD. And they have an income qualified only rebate of $1,000. And that has to be at a local retailer in the Tri-County area, Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito.
Wow.
The beautiful thing is that these 3 government agencies all realize they have their own constraints. They can't give everybody all the money. So all 3 of those, if you meet the eligibility requirements, are stackable, which means that for some select individuals, that could be up to $2,100 towards the price of an e-bike.
And did they limit it? Was there a limit if the value of the bike is only $1,100? Does that mean you can actually, some of these individuals may be able to get their whole cost of the bike paid?
Yes. So we had just for a practical example, we had a coworker, Danny, who took advantage of the Go Santa Cruz downtown rebate. And the MBARD rebate. And I think all said and done, he paid around $100 for his $1,500 e-bike. And he got an Aventon too, that same brand that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Brooke? Are there any data yet about, who's taking advantage of the rebates, who's buying? Because I know all three entities that are providing the rebates are really targeting lower income folks. You mm-hmm. know, partly on the argument that they may be driving older, more polluting cars, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, it's tough to put out that much money. But are there any data yet in terms of who's taking advantage of rebates? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I can only speak to the program that we help run with the city. Mm-hmm. So we had, last I checked, which is last week, we had 228 people apply mm-hmm. Since it launched in late October of 2021. So it's been running for about 6 months. And of the 228, a little more than half of them are just individuals who aren't eligible for the yeah. program. They live in other parts of the county or outside mm-hmm. of the parking district. Of the people who've been approved, which there's about 120 of them, another 70 of them have gone through the bike safety training and the baseline survey. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, that's when they're actually offered their voucher. And about a third of the approved individuals are low income. Mm-hmm. And it's self-reported. It's a proxy of other low-income assistance programs, mm-hmm. PG&E Cares, CalFresh, those types of programs. With the other two, I don't know. But that's a really good point. And the main vulnerability of the program with the city that I think we all knew at the very beginning is that the individual rebate amounts are pretty low compared to the price of an e-bike, but it was based on the budget available at the time.
Well, of course, if you're in the low-income category, then you can stack the rebates. I just wonder how widely this is known. It would be.
Yeah, we're working on that. Yeah, it's challenging. You have three different government agencies with three different applications, slightly different processes. I mean, it would be amazing if all three agencies could just collaborate and say, "Hey, we're going to pitch in this. It's going to be one application," and then it would be really straightforward. But hey,
yeah, that never happens. You're listening to Sustainability Now. I'm Ronnie Lipschitz, and on the air with Brooke Wright. And our guest today is Matt Miller, who works with Ecology Action and is particularly committed to bikes. And so we've been talking about bikes. You want to pick up the narrative, Brooke?
Yeah, I want to move on to some other topics, but we talked in depth about e-bikes and rebates. And before we leave that topic, is there anything else you want to add to that, Matt? And is there a place that listeners would go to in order to find information about these three things?
Yes.
Maybe more than one place.
Yeah. So there are three different agencies, all with, slight different overlap and more expansive areas. So what we did over at Ecology Action is we just put together a summary flyer of all three rebates and who's eligible, what the amounts are, where you can find out information about each. So this is all found at ecoact.org/regional-e-bike-rebates. And you can also just Google that if you don't remember the URL. We also have a longer form article written by my coworker, Piet Cannon, who goes in a little bit more detail about how the rebate programs came to be and some of the implications and bigger picture around e-bikes.
Okay, great. Well, yeah. We'll get that link up on our site too. So that's great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think it would be nice to get into a little policy stuff at this point.
Okay.
What are some policy, I know we talked a little bit earlier about infrastructure and different things. So what are some policy issues that Ecology Action is working on these days?
Yeah. I mean, primarily Ecology Action works in the, planning, programmatic and advocacy spaces. We don't do a ton in the policy space around local biking. We do a lot of policy work around energy in the state of California. But as it relates to this conversation and my work and community programs, the primary policy focus upcoming is the return of electric bike share. So if you can remember back a few years ago, right before COVID, we had Jump, which just to, put another bit of flavor around the e-bike conversation, Jump e-bike share was around for about 22 months, all said and done. It launched in 2018 and then was pulled off the streets right at the beginning of COVID. That system of e-bikes, pretty much showed up overnight and immediately saw incredible use locally. And after 22 months, that system that averaged around 300 total e-bikes just in the city of Santa Cruz saw over 600,000 bike trips. and 1.3 million miles traveled around. So the accessibility of those e-bikes, you know, being on the streets for most people to use, you saw exactly what could happen if they were made that available. So moving to now, it's actually...
Oh, wait. Oh. Can we, before we move to now?
Sure.
Because that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of who used it? Was it...
I don't think they were really able to collect a ton of detailed demographic information, but anecdotally, it was both locals and people who were visiting.
Right.
And if you just looked around at any time during that 22 months, they were in use, you know, 365 days a year, with the exception of the occasional squall, but they were used all the time.
Right. I remember seeing some like late night staffers from the boardwalk using them to probably get to wherever they had to park their cars to then be able to drive home in South County or wherever they were headed. So I actually saw them as kind of an equity issue.
Yeah. And that's what's so exciting about the e-bike share 2.0. That's coming.
Okay.
The city,
now you can go to now.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. In a lot of ways. And I'll just add one more little piece is that it was a jump bike that got me to buy my e-bike. I did a trip. I did a trip from the west side up to Science Hill at UCSC, which is a trip that I had done hundreds of times on a regular bike, and I did it with, you know, no sweat, and maybe it took me 10 minutes less. And all of a sudden, I realized I just calculated all the trips that I do throughout my days and my weeks, and shaving time and effort off, it was instantaneous for me.
I want to ask a question about that. Now, tell me, what was your destination on campus?
Science Hill.
I remember seeing bikes that had stopped halfway up the hill because they were outside of the radius that the bikes operated in. So that wasn't the case.
Yeah, so that was pretty much at the border, right at the extent. So UCSC was considered part of the service area, but there were certain parts of campus that was just outside of that service area. I got locked out of a bike when I rode it to De La Viega one time, for example. But to get us back to now, e-bike share 2.0, you know, at the time that, you know, 2 years into Jump, the other local jurisdictions, UCSC, the county, Capitola, were all looking at how to bring Jump into their respective areas. And then COVID hit, everything got, you know, shut down. So then the reboot of e-bike share is a pretty amazing feat by local government standards. It's a multi-jurisdictional agreement between the city of Santa Cruz, city of Capitola, city of Watsonville, county of Santa Cruz, Cabrillo College, and UCSC, all of which have gone into a multi-jurisdictional agreement to bring e-bike share back to town. And what is likely to be the case is that the city of Santa Cruz already has all the stations permitted from the prior system. And so they'll probably be the first ones out of the gates with their system. And I know UCSC is really eager to get a system in place for their population on campus. And I suspect that the other jurisdictions will, you know, try to be following suit shortly. But as it relates to policy specifically, you know, and as it relates to e-bike share, we want to kind of push the definition of what e-bike share is and think of it more as a public transit, you know, a system across the county with 1,000+ bikes, and in ways that we subsidize other forms of transportation, give local residents, you know, subsidized or low cost memberships, to reduce the financial barrier and increase utilization of the system. And so, you know, we're pushing at a policy level for all the local jurisdictions to consider that and consider supporting financially citizens to be able to use the system. We also just want to say that this should be a top priority and happen as quickly as possible given the transportation landscape.
Who's going to operate the bike shares? I mean, who is it going to be? A private company again? Some sort of agreement?
I don't think it's been publicly announced, so I'm gonna hold off on saying anything until there's a public announcement made.
Okay.
But yeah, it'll be a private company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in kind of other areas, you know, policy adjacent, Ecology Action is working with the County of Santa Cruz right now on the active transportation plan. And that's been in the works for the last 2 years. And so what the active transportation plan does, for people who've never heard of it, is it basically creates a roadmap for future bike and pedestrian projects in the unincorporated county, including things like sidewalks, new bike lanes, protected bike lanes, intersection improvements. And once it's complete, it's a way for our local public works department to go out and get grant funding to actually construct some of these recommended projects. So that's going to the County Board of Supervisors for adoption on May 10th. That's coming right up here in just less than 2 weeks.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That ties to something I meant to ask earlier. You just talked about grant funding, and I'm curious, where does the funding come from for the kinds of programs that you're doing, the Bike Month that we started this conversation about?
Yeah.
Like that.
Our adult bike programs are funded from a pretty wide variety of sources. So we get local grant funding from agencies like the Regional Transportation Commission. Another project I oversee up at UCSC is a Caltrans grant, so that's state grant funding. We have contracts with local municipalities, like the City of Santa Cruz, to do some of their work, some of our work around Go Santa Cruz and the e-bike rebate program. We get foundation funding. We have a membership program where we collect dues from local employers for transportation benefits, business sponsorship, as well as individual donors. So all of that goes in to making this, where it's where the rubber hits the road. It's all of those parties contributing.
Got it. Great.
Yeah.
I feel like we may need to kind of close up now. So I just want to find out, Matt, is there anything that you want to use your last minute or two on air to tell our listeners?
Yeah. Thanks, Brooke. I appreciate that. Well, given that it's May 1st and it's Bike Month, it's a special time of the year for everybody, especially me. I just want to say that changing transportation behavior and changing behavior in general is really challenging, and you have to have a lot of things go right in order to make it happen. So when we're locally thinking about how do we get people to reconsider their transportation choices, and how do we go against the overwhelming car culture that we're surrounded by at all moments. And Bike Month is one of the best opportunities that we have as a community, you know, twice a year, to really activate around biking. And it's not about going out and riding 100-mile rides and logging miles. It's really about getting people to try that one bike ride, go to the grocery store, go on a commute to work, and just allow folks the opportunity to have a fun, joyful, positive experience around biking. And there's so much social infrastructure that goes into Bike Month. We have the challenge, we have all the incentives, we have community events, we have loads of partners that come in and create a really vibrant and fun schedule of events. And those are all available for people across Santa Cruz County for free to come check out. And so if you're either somebody listening who you haven't touched a bike in years, or you're somebody who bikes every day, there's something in Bike Month for you. There is a way to start, and for people who do it all the time, there is a way for you to amplify what you do already. And so my call...
Is there a party?
There is. Santa Cruz Mountain Brewery on Friday, May 20th, they're hosting a bike night. So if you want to come hang out with a bunch of people, drink beer, fundraise for Bike Month, listen to some live music, food trucks, it's going to be a good time. There might be ice cream also.
All right. Well, we're out of time. And so I want to thank you, Matt, for being our guest on Sustainability Now. And you can learn more about
Matt.
The EA's transportation program at ecoact.org/about-us/community-engagement. Thanks for listening. And thanks to everybody who helps make K-Squid your community radio station. And so until next every other Sunday, Sustainability Now. All I want to do is